This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 7:15. You're listening to the Evening Edition with Sharmila and Lynn. And now, the KL Singapore High Speed Rail, or the project that simply won't go away.
Yes, I thought we were done with this, but it turns out we are not. So the Prime Minister is proposing that Malaysia revive talks with Singapore on this issue. And on Singapore's part, they've said yesterday that they're open to fresh proposals on this, and the two transport ministries will be discussing the matter further. So you may recall, of course, that this was initially fully cancelled with a mutual agreement on the 1st of January this year, after the agreement had lapsed anyway last year. And this was following on from the project being introduced in 2013, the MOU signed in 2016. It has transcended several governments. So it was initially by Datuk Sri Najib Razak's government. They estimated the cost to be $71 billion. Pakatan Harapan took over in 2018 and then said, no, actually, it's closer to $110 billion. There are hidden costs. And so that is pretty much where it is. It's lapsed, it was over, and now it's back.
Apparently, governments may come and go, but the HSR will remain.
Oh, my God.
That should be the slogan. So it's worth looking at the benefits. So why this project was first mooted, right? So amongst the things that they bring up is usually the fact that it reduces travel time. It's expected to generate 21 billion ringgit in GDP for both countries. Also purported to create 111,000 jobs by the year 2060. But rail experts have said that ridership had to be between 6 to 9 million annually to break even on operational costs.
Can I just say that Tun M is quoted as actually saying it will not make us a penny. That was something that he had actually said. And there has been criticism of this also from former Finance Minister Lim Guan Eng, who says we already had to pay 320 million ringgit in compensation fees. So, yeah, where does this leave us?
Where does it leave us indeed? That's what we're going to be looking at. And this is, of course, on the wake of talks again of reviving the high-speed rail project between Malaysia and Singapore. We'd like to hear from you. Do you think the HSR should be revived? You can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. Now, joining us to discuss this further is Professor Dr. Ahmad Farhan Mohamad Sadullah, Professor of Transport Engineering at USM. Farhan, thanks for being with us today.
Hi, how are you again?
I'm good, thank you. So, Malaysia has suggested the revival of this HSR link, which, of course, we previously paid to terminate. What are your thoughts on this?
Surprise as well. I mean, I was caught off guard totally, because there was no rumours about the news until the meeting that the Prime Minister had with the Singaporean counterpart. I'm not sure why. I guess perhaps some sectors are pushing for the project. I think because they have made commitments, because the financing of the project was partially also through perhaps land value, development value. So I guess some of the terminus development has been developed. So perhaps that's the reason. But I personally, as a transport person, do not really advocate HSR for various reasons, which we can discuss later. So I was also surprised that you know, this is not going away yet. But we will wait and see what will be the proposal like, and whether it is going to be feasible, and whether the special purpose vehicle or the business model will also be acceptable to make the work to make the entire project workable and feasible.
So let's get to it, right? What are the pros and cons of reviving this project?
I think in the first place, why do we need an HSR? Okay, I think we go back. We go back to fundamental. Do we really need a HSR? When the idea was mooted, actually, when I was in the SPAD back then, I am not inclined to support HSR, because I think the distance is a bit too short. between Malaysia and Singapore, you will not be getting the best benefit of HSR for that distance, because history has shown Taiwan Taiwan system is, which is also about the same distance as ours, also struggle. And then there are so many other alternatives. No doubt, the benefit of reduction in time will be there, but there are too many other competitive, and of course, the price that the price of the ticket will also be influential. So I see it as from the traveling perspective, the question whether we really need it. But again, as you know, any infrastructure project in the country will also encourage other forms of investment. I mean, you mentioned the amount of GDP that it will create. I'm sure it is not only from the traveling part of efficiency and productivity, but also because of the other opportunities that such project or infrastructure project bring about. So I guess the government has to decide on the entire balance. But as a transport person, I would rather the government spend the money to ensure that every individual in the country will have access to public transport wherever they are, which I'm sure with the amount that we are talking today can actually provide inclusivity in terms of access to travel, especially to the rural folks who doesn't have any alternative but their own means of transport. So I'm bringing in the sustainable transport alternative to the mega project, which many people don't like. But I think that's the reality that we need to work on, rather than looking at options of an alternative that is really good to have, bordering to not really needed, from my perspective.
In that case, then, doesn't that make the KLJB high-speed rail project even less valuable?
Definitely, of course. Yeah, without Singapore, then the project should not be given a second thought, because you will not get the demand, and you will not be able to justify the project. When the project was mooted, it was definitely Singapore's attraction and generation that was part of its motivation. So without Singapore, I think we will not be able to we'll not be able to justify the cost. You must remember, we do not have enough people to travel. I mean, sometimes we do not see the perspective of the total system. What will be the frequency of our HSR, you know, to break even? If we are looking into revenue stream of the HSR, do you think we can even give an hourly service of HSR to Singapore? I'm not sure. Even ETS now, which is quite well patronized, good patron, good numbers of passengers, but we do not have the frequency that we want, which means we do not have enough people to travel from city to city throughout the day. So that will give a lot of impact to the operators later, you know, to give returns and for it to float. And we do not want, again, for the government to needing to rescue our transportation project as they have been doing. They have been rescuing too many transportation projects. So that is my concern, actually. So definitely, you know, without Singapore, I think the Johor option should not even be considered.
And, you know, there have been worries around a potential lack of transparency and accountability with this project, should it now be revived and have its second, third round. You know, could you tell us more about these concerns?
That one, I'm not sure. These are all the dealing and willing of the people in there. But I think the both parties have learned their lessons. I think especially Malaysia, because we have to compensate. And I think there must be a reason why it was cancelled. So to undo that, I think we need perhaps the parliament can ask why are we reviving it. I don't think today's debates in the parliament have highlighted anything to that from the government side. So since Yang Berhormat Lim Guan Eng has asked that question, maybe we will wait and see on the new justification. I mean, we never know that they could have found a new way of financing it and so on. But again, as a transport person, I still feel that Malaysia can do much more for the rest of the country. We are still struggling with public transport, and I think rail is definitely the future, but we need not go to the highest hierarchy of rail, which is HSR. You know, we can still work with ETS, which is also double tracking electrification link is still ongoing. So that, to me, will perhaps be sufficient at the moment until we feel that we have enough demand. And of course, with post-COVID, I don't think this is the right time to make any big decision, because we are not even certain about how our airline industry can be revived, because we are not sure of the demand of it. Even for me to go from Penang to KL, I'm having a lot of problems because the flights keep being cancelled, and that shows that the demand is still not steady. So with all these uncertainties, and you are committing the next 40, 50 years of financing, which either the government will have to pay or the business model will have to pay, I think it's a bit risky, especially at this time, at the moment.
Prof. Farhan, how would you like to see that money spent instead then?
I've told you just now, I would love for it to be invested on buses. You can still see the how Prasarana is also still struggling, you know, even though things are much better compared to previous years. But we know that Prasarana is struggling to equip buses that are, you know, the standard that will attract people and professionals to use it. Our LRT systems and all the rail base, or even, you know, we can look into different alternatives for the cities. SPAD, before it was closed, had a plan to introduce a rail-based system or a more effective public transport system to every city in the country. Unfortunately, of course, we started off with Klang Valley first because of its needs. And we see the outcome of it now. Even though it is still slow, our MRT, I think, is still not where we hope the demand will be. But we are not even starting in other cities, you know, even though there are initiatives. I think the Penang one is facing a lot of problem, again, because we do not have money, and the Penang government has to be creative in finding its financial model. And of course, the financial model is not, you know, taken positively by a lot of sectors, especially the environmental sector. So I think they are struggling, and we still do not have a rail system in Penang. We do not have a rail system in Johor. And what about other cities which are actually becoming more and more populated? And if we do not address the problem of mobility in these cities sooner, we will all have congestion and problem of access. At the same time, our people are still, you know, unable to access public transport, and that brings about other problems, because we have to be dependent on private vehicle and motorcycle, as you know, from road safety perspective, is also a problem that we are facing. So now people in the rural will have to depend on motorcycle, and therefore it opens up to all risks. So I think, because in my position, we are trying to solve the problem of transportation, we are trying to solve the problem of access, we are trying to solve the problem of road safety. A lot of times, the key answer is to provide enough public transport so that people can be reliant on it and know that they can use public transport to go from one place to another. And this is not even existing in even near my place now. You know, I still do not have the public transport that I wish to have in my area of Penang. So that would be a better place for investment, I would say, it will be more rakyat, you know, it will also be more supporting the SDGs, and people will have access, and that will definitely help Malaysia to grow and become a developed country, you know. So it is the choice of investment that we need to make.
Prof. Farhan, thanks for speaking with us. That was Professor Dr. Ahmad Farhan Mohamad Sadullah, Professor of Transport Engineering at USM. Keep it here on The Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.